Amen. So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us, and it is a pleasure to listen to his word. And yesterday we were able to link up with tarrying, and when the disciples were told by Jesus that they should tarry in Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high, or until they receive the Holy Spirit. And what we see is that about 120 disciples were gathered together in one place, and in the upper room and in Jerusalem. And these disciples were not only men. We also see there were also women. And we have seen that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there, and as well also with his brothers. And indeed, the scripture tells us of two brothers, of which we say it is James and Jude. These are the writers of the book of James and Jude, who were the earthly brothers of Jesus, but then who later believed after his resurrection. So initially they were not among his disciples. And remember, they had wanted to grab him and take him home. They felt that he was running mad. But then in his resurrection, they believe in him. And they believe that he is the Son of God. So you can imagine, you had a brother, and then now you no longer know them after the flesh. Then you know them as the Christ and as the Redeemer. So what we see is that about this 120 disciples, they were, or these believers, they were all gathered in one accord. And this is one common theme that you will see in the book of Acts, one accord meaning that they were together in one place, they were together praying together, they were together in unity, and they were together, you know, praying together, and a lot of things happened when they were in one accord. Yeah, now, we've also seen that they were able to choose someone to replace Judas, because the Bible tells us that Judas bought, you know, a field, and he went, and in the middle of it, his intestines gushed out, and he burst, and they, you know, they bought that field, which is, they named the field, you know, Akeldama, which is a field of blood, and they were able to replace him. Now, if we look at the qualifications of the person that will replace Judas, the Bible says that in Acts chapter 1, verse 21, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they chose someone who was there. They had not only physical qualification, but also spiritual. What was the physical qualification? They wanted someone that was a witness, someone that was there from the onset. That means from the time Jesus was baptized, from the baptism of John until the day he ascended. So, and then also they had the spiritual, where they prayed and they asked, they said, God, you know the hearts of every man. I pray that you may show us to whom that you have chosen to replace Judas. And then they prayed, they cast their lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 and became the 12th apostle. Now we're in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we're going to see just the linkage up with the day of Pentecost, and then just have an understanding of the Pentecost and what it really means in response to, even if we compare it with the celebration that was there in the book, in the Old Testament. So we're going to see that maybe we'll start in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And remember, we spoke about this one accord as being in united, in unity, and unity of purpose. And they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now imagine they hear a sound. And the sound is like that of a rushing mighty wind. And the sound fills the whole house. You can imagine. Can you, if we were to make sense, it's like, how can a sound come in and fill the entire house? So that's very interesting how the word describes it. It was as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. So that means it was loud. That's the first thing that we want to see. And the Bible says they were sitting where they were sitting, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. So they could see tongues, which are like, you will say, like embers, or like, you know, like tongues of fire, which were divided. And the Bible says, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Now, this is a spiritual experience. So you can see that what we see, not only do they hear the sound, they also see. So there is a spirit, their spiritual ears were opened in that they could hear the sound, and as well also their spiritual eyes were open in that they could see the tongues of fire, because it was not something physical that they could touch, but this was a spiritual experience. Now, each tongue divided as of fire. And remember, Jesus told them they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there's a baptism with fire. And this is what we spoke about, that the Holy Spirit coming upon the believer. Remember, there is still the indwelling Holy Spirit that is in them, that they received when Jesus breathed into them. And they told them, receive the Holy Spirit. And that is the anointing that is within, the anointing that helps them live the Christian life. But then now there is the anointing that comes upon, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and the baptism with fire. And this is the anointing that enables them to be effective witnesses. The Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's very important that we understand that each of them had a tongue of fire that came and rested upon them. And I was just asking myself, so they were seated. What is it that they were doing? I think they were praying, or maybe someone was teaching the word before them. My thinking is ideally Peter or someone was preaching to them as they were praying together in unity. Then that is when the Spirit came. And I will argue this because when you see that when Peter says, as it came on them on the day of Pentecost, when he was speaking to the house of Cornelius, while he spoke the word to them, the Holy Spirit came and fell upon them. So it's possible that either someone was preaching or they were praying together. But we specifically what we see is that they were seated. So that means ideally someone was speaking to them. Now the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is now what we understand. Now this is now the baptism where they were filled, where they became immersed with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues. Now remember, it is not the Holy Spirit that speaks, it's not the Holy Spirit that prays for them, but it is them, the disciples. Remember, we're referring to the disciples. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. So after the infilling with the Holy Spirit, as after they were the Holy Spirit coming upon them, it is the disciples that began to speak. So the speaking is done by you and me, and it is done by faith that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So I know some people often expect the Holy Spirit to move their mouths, often expect the Holy Spirit to make them, you know, speak, or to make them speak in tongues. But when we see from the scriptures, the Holy Spirit only gives them utterance. And what is utterance? Utterance is the language. And this means that it is a unique expression that comes out that you know that this is not of you, but this is something that comes from the Lord. But the speaking is done by you. And remember, it is a promise, it is a gift. Our job is to have faith and to receive what God has promised. So baptism in the Holy Spirit comes from that desire. Your job is to believe in the word of God that he says that he gives good gifts to his children, and how much more of them that ask him of the Holy Spirit. So when we ask God the Father for the Holy Spirit, he has promised that he will give it to us. And since he has promised that he will give it to us, our job is to receive it, and we receive it by faith. And when we believe that we have received it by faith, then the next thing that we are called to do is to speak. So at that point, then you begin to speak, and whatever language that you find yourself speaking, you're speaking in faith. Why? Because when we speak in other tongues, we are speaking mysteries unto God. And that's what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14, that anyone that speaks in tongues speaks mysteries. Our minds are unfruitful, but God understands us, and we speak in faith, and no one speaking by the Spirit can say Jesus be accursed. So you can never blaspheme when you speak in tongues, because you are speaking by the Spirit of God, and as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Now, it is one thing to note, and maybe as we read ahead, when we read verse 5, the Bible says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused, because everyone had them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, this refers to converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Now, it's interesting that, and for me, I'll just highlight this so that you can note, when the Bible says, and they began to speak with other tongues. You will have to distinguish when we speak of other tongues and unknown tongues. So these are two experiences that happen when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Ideally, we speak in unknown tongues. But it is also possible when we are filled with the Spirit to speak in other tongues. Other tongues ideally speaks that you speak in a language that you are not taught, a language that exists in the world, and maybe you start praying in Chinese or something like that, and a Chinese man who is hearing then will understand and say, how can you be speaking Chinese and praising God in Mandarin? And unless this is by the work of God. So this is ideally the sign that God gave them on the day of Pentecost. The Bible says that everyone had them speak in their own language. And I mean, I didn't take time to count, but you can imagine all these languages that were mentioned, including up to Asia, including up to Mesopotamia, including even up to Africa, Libya, you know, Egypt, Cyrene, you can imagine. All these are even African languages that God enabled through the Holy Spirit to speak, that the people to speak, and they were even praising God. And one of the things that you'll have to understand is that the day of Pentecost ideally was a Jewish feast. Now, when you go back to Exodus, in the first time that ideally this feast was to be commemorated is actually in Exodus 19, when the Israelites had left Egypt. Remember, they had left Egypt, they had taken the Passover, so then they had eaten the lamb. They remember that the angel of God had gone over the houses where there was blood. When he saw the blood, he had jumped over. So that was the first feast that the Israelites celebrated, and that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But then in the Feast of the Pentecost, and this is ideally where when they came to Mount Sinai and they were given the law. Now, when God came to give them the law, he came in a cloud, and maybe when you get time you can read in Exodus 19, he came in a cloud on Mount Sinai, and remember he had told them, let no animal come near the mountain. If anyone comes, he shall die. They were to consecrate themselves. And this is also similar to what Jesus told the disciples, to tarry in Jerusalem until they are endued with power. So there are a lot of similarities to what happened. And when God gave the message to Moses, he said, now that you're going to be my people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood belonging to God. So when God came on Mount Sinai, he descended in the thickness of the cloud through his spirit. Then he was able to call them forth and gave the message to Moses that the people are going to be a holy nation. Likewise also, now in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost, signifying similarly the presence of God coming, and now he establishes for himself a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And that is why the Bible refers to the Israelites as the church in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness, the ecclesia in the wilderness. And likewise also, we can see that the church now becomes the church, the church of God, which is the ecclesia that is now filled with the Holy Spirit and becomes a holy nation and a royal priesthood as unto God. And then another thing, that similarity that also comes, is that whenever they will celebrate the Pentecost, it was ideally also called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of the Harvest. And that is when they will bring the first fruits to God. And one of the things that about they will bring the first fruits, it will also signify that, you know, Christ, when he came up from the grave, he became the first fruits from the dead. And now that these believers were receiving the Holy Spirit, they also became the first fruits. So now this was the first fruits of the church that came after Christ. So there's a lot of symbolism when we speak of, you know, the Feast of Pentecost, it being the Feast of the First Fruits, but also it being the day when the Holy Spirit came upon, you know, the church, and then they became his holy nation. Now, the beauty of all this is that God did something supernatural. One, in that they were able to receive the Holy Spirit, they were able to be baptized, and they were able to do something supernatural, which is speak in a tongue that they had not been taught, speak in a language that they had not been taught. And the Bible tells us that they thought they were, you know, they were drunk with new wine, but actually they were filled with the wine of the Holy Spirit. And remember, that's why Jesus said, new wine is poured into new wineskins. And Peter has to explain it, and that is why we can see in Acts 2 verse 14, but the Bible says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll pause there because then we shall be able to continue at another time. But Peter is able to clearly interpret to them that this is not being drunk, but this is a promise that was promised and prophesied even through Joel by the Spirit of God, that it shall come to pass in the last days that God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And there's, this was the outpouring of that. The sons and daughters will prophesy, and we can see when they speak by the Spirit of God, they are prophesying. Young men shall see visions, old men shall dream dreams, and even men servants and maid servants, God says he shall pour out his Spirit. So the day of Pentecost ideally is a day to celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It happens 50 days after the Passover, and then it tells us, if you look at the timeline, Jesus ascended to heaven after 40 days after the Passover, after his death. Jesus was the Passover lamb, but then also the Pentecost becomes the day of the harvest, celebrating of the first fruits. So likewise also the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost celebrates that becoming of bringing in the harvest unto God. And we can also see later on when Peter preaches, he is able to have up to 3,000 people receiving, you know, believing in Jesus, and that becomes also a first fruit unto God, where the first believers that receive the gospel are also believe it. Yeah, so I think it's quite great to see what God is doing, and as we look at it, may God also give us insight into understanding all this. And maybe let me just give you the chapter. I think it is in Exodus 34, where you can see more about the Feast of Weeks. Yeah, so Exodus 34. Yeah, Exodus 34 from verse 22 to 23. You can be able to read that. And then all, and this will tell you more about the Feast of Weeks, and you can be able to reflect on that. So maybe look at that later as God allows you. I'll stop there for today, and I pray that God will give us insight more into this. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you for the word. It's been quite clear. I think we also see when John the Baptist was saying that the Holy Spirit baptizes us with fire. Some of the prophecies that are being fulfilled now. And we all see also in the different stories, and look at the fire, the burning bush and all that. Fire indicates God. So indeed, it was clear that God was present among the crowd at that day. And we see that many were converted, at following him. But also it speaks of an aspect that God is not for one nation. God is for all nations.
Amen.
People, because you can see that among the crowd, the Egyptians, there were people from the far, from Asia, from all over.
Yeah.
But still, they managed to understand each other. They managed to speak in the tongues. So that, to me, the indication that we should not eliminate ourselves from among the children of God just because only a region that perhaps does not follow Christ is lost. And often find people saying, we follow the religion because you're born in that religion. Because it's not that. God is for all. And there's no limit to his bread. Blessing. So yes, thanks for the word, and I'll leave it at that.
Amen, powerful additions. God is for all, and it's amazing if you think of just you just brought in the issue of language, and I was reminded of the Tower of Babel. you know, where they were all speaking one language and God separated them so that they can fill the earth. But then in the outpouring, God wants all these languages it's to all be part of it, and that's why every tribe and tongue shall be before the throne of God. So God has redeemed for himself men from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. And indeed, yes, as you rightly put it, we should not eliminate ourselves, we should not exclude ourselves, we should not think that it is a white man's religion, but we should see that God is for all. And indeed, thank you for that powerful addition. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for indeed clarifying to us the meaning of Pentecost, the day of the first fruits, the day of the weeks, the festival of the weeks. And we know that, Lord, you have a divine purpose and plan for us to understand, and even for the people who are in Jerusalem who are able to be present for this mighty work of God that you are doing, that you poured out your spirit unto the church and you released the harvest for yourself, men from various nations who could hear the word being spoken, praises to God. And today we return these praises to you. We say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for calling us by name. Thank you for pouring out your love for us, and indeed for making us a body that you can dwell, that you can possess, and that you can fill us. And indeed, you redeemed for yourself a church, and we become your body through the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. And I pray for my brother, my sister, who is still believing in you for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that let them have the faith to receive it, to receive the free gift of God, and even with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We thank you and we honor you. May your name be praised. Go ahead of us. Grant us favor across the day and across the week. And I pray for them that need healing. May they experience the healing and power of the Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.